Hi, this is the second installment in our special podcast series produced by our environmental and social responsibility team. And this one's looking at labour and working conditions. Here's CDC's Lara Martin to tell you a bit more about it.
Hi and welcome to this ENS podcast series. I am Lara Martin from CDC Environmental and Social Responsibility Team, and in today's podcast, we will discuss the challenges around labour and working conditions. Good labour practices not only improve employees' productivity and allow access to international markets, but will protect companies from breaking international labour laws or violating fundamental ILO conventions. In this episode, Philippe Spence, senior partner at ERM, took us through best labour practices. This interview was undertaken right after she delivered the session on labour and working conditions at 2017 London workshop. So before we hear from Philippa, let's hear what attendees thought about the labour and working conditions session.
I'm Qasim Dar. I'm from Habib Bank, Pakistan. I think the sessions are very interactive. Some of the labor issues we just discussed in today, they are very relevant in terms of South Asian practices. So I think that's something to share. And some of the labor practices even in UK, like the comparison, that's very interesting.
Yeah, my name is Abdikrim Gole. I'm from Shuraco program, based in Colorado, and we work in Somalia and in Colombia. My impression, this is my first ESG training. Excellent. You know, I learned a lot. Like this morning, we did occupational safety in session. So actually, the main things that, you know, the managers can do in to make sure, you know, the facility is safe, you know, so that helps, you know, and to control the dust, to control, you know, and any flammable products. So that main things that, or activity change that the business can do, we will cost minimum or nothing that will save the business.
So now, let's hear from Philippa. What did she cover during her session?
So we grappled with all sorts of challenging topics like discrimination, equal remuneration, freedom of association, child labour, forced labour, a whole range of topics that are really of critical importance in terms of managing a labour and workforce well.
What are the main standards to follow and how does standards change over the years?
When it comes to labour and working conditions, it's generally the ILO core conventions, but also performance standard 2. And then there are a range of other standards which really take from the ILO core conventions. So as long as you know those pretty well and the contents of performance standard 2, you're well covered. How they've evolved over the years, well, it's really been risk and issue based. So a good example is the Modern Slavery Act. So the UK, having realised that there's a lot of what we call modern slavery, forced labour, trafficking, actually that occurs within the UK, but also within subsidiary companies outside of the UK and in supply chains, has actually passed an act which really tries to protect against that happening and has placed new and difficult or challenging expectations on companies to better understand and manage their supply chains, but also subsidiaries in other countries.
What good looks like when looking at labour and working conditions?
I think the first thing is that companies understand compliance. Labour law changes, and it changes actually quite rapidly. So a company that is tracking the changes in labour law and actually responding to them, which is where your management system comes in, that's what good looks like. Beyond that, it's where really the relationship between a company and its employees is strong, and it's based on having really good respect for and protection of worker rights. And what comes out of that as a result is greater productivity, reduced health and safety incidents, and as a result, what are the benefits is that greater access to markets. Lots of companies do not want to buy from companies, other companies that have poor labour and working conditions because the reputational impact of that affects buyers as well.
And now in terms of when to engage an external advisor or a consultant, what is the right balance between doing it in-house or engaging an external party to help?
Usually when there's a significant risk. So it may be a health and safety risk where you've got a systemic and endemic issue within a company where safety issues come up again and again. People are injured or there are fatalities. Beyond that, it's where there are really significant issues within, be it hiring or any part of the human resources cycle, and particularly problematic issues like forced labor or child labor or discrimination. Those are difficult issues to unwind. And if there are situations like that, that's when you need to get an expert who knows the industry, the country, the law, and most importantly, how you resolve those kinds of issues.
Can you share with us an example that shows the value for a company of good labor practices?
Well, the one, actually, it was an example I brought up in the training. It's an example of a company that really hadn't wanted to change to best practice. It was required to in order to get funding. However, once they had, the unintended consequence they hadn't expected was that their access to markets was much improved. And as a result, their return, their turnover increased by 45%. So that's really significant in the course of about 2 years. That was a direct result of having invested some money in improving some of the labor and working conditions issues that they had.
And now, just to finalize, so what are the key takeaways that you would like fund managers and investees to take home?
These issues really matter. They can cost reputation. They can make a big difference in terms of the markets that you access. So it's worth taking time to understand in your portfolio companies whether there are issues that you should be worried about, and then, importantly, how you can add value by helping to resolve them. Because you will have a better and a stronger and a sounder investment if you've got good working conditions.
Thank you very much for listening to this ENS podcast. The next part of this series will be released early November, where we will be interviewing again Philippe Spence, but this time to discuss the challenges and opportunities behind environmental and social management systems. In the meantime, if you'd like to find out more about the topics we covered today, you can visit our ESG Toolkit for Fund Managers on toolkit.cdcgroup.com.